Spirit of Design delves deep into the unseen elements of design and holistic sustainability.
Join us, Amy and
Anya,
for open conversations with creatives, scholars, activists, and others to envision alternative design futures that are diverse, inclusive, community-centric, and in symbiosis with all life on this planet. Welcome back to Spirit of Design podcast. Anya and I are really excited to jump into our second episode of this year. And this topic's going to be a very interesting one, one that we've been speaking about with each other a little bit recently, and I think is so relevant to the times that we live in. But this week in our podcast, we're going to explore ideas around radical truth-telling and around this call-out culture that we live in currently. We've spent the last little while exploring on this podcast the ideas of future visioning, radical future visioning for fashion and for design. And what we've come to realize is that that is not possible when we live in a call-out culture, or it doesn't feel possible. And so there's such an importance for radical truth-telling at the moment. And so this is the topic we're going to explore today, and we're really excited to get into it. And we really hope that we challenge both ourselves and you who are listening to really be courageous and to really be radical in our truth-telling as we move forward in this year. So, shall we kick it off, Anya?
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for the intro, Amy. And yes, we're definitely not experts in this space, but we just wanted to have a chat on what we're seeing and what we're experiencing at the moment. And as you mentioned, like, we can't vision big, we can't dream big, unless there is a safe space to push towards these possibilities. And I think it's also important to note here that future visions, the future worlds that we so desire, you know, they're plural. There's always an S at the end. There's going to be multiple visions and realities that we want to bring forth, because we're all, even though we are interconnected, we're all so unique and different. And it's important that we create spaces where multiple worldviews and multiple truths can coexist in synergy and in harmony. So I think that's something that as a culture, we're not doing very well at the moment.
Yeah, agreed. This last kind of year, with everything that's gone down politically around the world, with everything that's gone down with COVID around the world, we've seen this kind of really divisive, divided kind of energy that's come through. At least that's what I've witnessed in a lot of just around me, especially in the media and stuff. And there's been so much call out culture and so much, I guess, division that's been going on. And some of it's been really necessary in terms of the call out culture. I think it has been really necessary to call out things like systemic racism, and to call out like things like systemic misogyny. And that's been really important. But what I've seen around me is that, well, we've called it out, we also have become really sensitive about what is and isn't an acceptable conversation to have. And what has happened is that so many people have become too scared to speak their truth, too scared to get it wrong. And we are going to get it wrong. And that's not conducive to moving forward. Because like we said, in order to radically vision new futures, which is what is necessary here. And like you said, futures is plural. We really need to be able to think outside the box. And to be able to think outside the box means that we're going to offend some people. And if we're constantly living in a state of fear because of this call-out culture that we live in, it's never going to happen. And so we need to find a way in order to be able to, first of all, I think, and as always with our work, we always talk about it begins with the self. I think, first of all, we have to be able to acknowledge our own truth and really own it, like really be able to be honest about what is true for me. And from there, we get to realize that there is no singular truth, as you said. There are multiple truths. And when we begin to realize that, we accept that our truth may not be the same as somebody else's. And I think that's really important for moving forward.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's in saying that we're being called out. As soon as you have a different opinion, you're automatically labeled an array of names and identities just because you've decided not to conform to the status quo. And I feel like at the moment we're seeing you're either very left or you're very right, and there's no in between, whilst life isn't like that. It's not black and white. There's an array of nuances, an array of gray scales in between. And as you mentioned, it's making people fearful to share. Like, I've felt that a multitude of times. Like, you'd rather not even share what you think in that moment for fear of being like publicly shamed. Like, I've seen people on social media be publicly shamed for what they've said. And perhaps that has been a derogatory thing that they've mentioned, or it's just been something that has been taken completely out of context. And so I think it's just so wild that this is happening, because we're missing the point. We're missing the point. We're quarreling over these small little things. Like, we're meant to be diverse as a species. That's how we thrive. We're meant to have diverse worldviews. Whilst we're stuck in this like bickering and shaming who's right, who's wrong, whilst we're missing the bigger picture of actually creating a better world, of actually imagining something new and working towards it. So it's almost like it's like this one giant distraction from what we really should be doing.
And this cancel culture is like so dangerous. Like, you just cancel someone because they said something that you don't agree with or that you don't like. Even in terms of like Donald Trump, and this is so controversial, and I'm not even going to share my opinion on it because, first of all, I don't even know what I think. It's just, it's nuanced and it's complex, and it'd probably take days to unpack it. But in terms of Donald Trump being canceled on social media accounts, like, sure, if you don't like Donald Trump, you might think that's a great thing, but who decides who gets to be canceled and who doesn't? Is canceling somebody actually the best idea? Because that person still exists. They're just canceled for you and me who spend our time on this platform, but on another platform, they'll rise up. It's just this idea that, like, so what, we don't like something, we just cancel it? That's so problematic to me. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to share my opinion on things, but regardless of what you think about, let's just use the example of Donald Trump, canceling somebody is problematic because somebody has to choose what stays and what goes.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, some human being is making the call for what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, whose truth is right and whose truth is wrong. And that's so dangerous. That is so dangerous. Yes. If we're constantly only being fed ideas that are watered down, that are, you know, carefully curated so as not to offend anybody, we're never hearing a full truth. Like, we're never actually, our worldviews become very narrow. Everybody becomes very concerned and obsessed with, like, looking a certain way, making sure they're heard a certain way. And then the tolerance for truth becomes very low, because anybody who starts speaking truth sticks out like a sore thumb. I don't know. I'm just very, very, very concerned about the way we cancel people. Even just things like earlier this year, I saw something happen here at a bar, and they were having a Donald Trump party. And while I didn't personally agree with what they were doing, there were so many people who were like, cancel the bar. You know, fuck them. Like, they're evil. Like, end of story. It's black and white. Like, and I was like, well, what does that solve? Like, I mean, just honestly, what happens when we cancel people? What does it solve? Like, nothing changes, except that we now become more divisive with each other. We're now so much more certain about, like, gross, that person's on that side, they're bad. We're on this side, we're good, or vice versa, and have so little tolerance. And it blows my mind.
Yeah.
And when it comes to fashion, it's so important right now that we give each other space to really be honest and really explore and suspend all judgment and really allow ourselves and others to explore what does true, and I mean this in the truest, most holistic, most honest sense, what does true sustainability look like moving forward? It's not going to look like a copy-paste solution.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think it's so ridiculous that, like, society at the moment is blaming one person for all the world's problems, whilst these problems were here before this person came along. It's much more complicated. It's systemic, deeply rooted issues here. And I think, again, we're missing the point. We're not going to the root cause of our issues. We just like to finger point and blame at particular people, but this goes much, much deeper. I think it's so, I can hear, like, people might be listening and thinking, oh, well, you know, some people are just racist or misogynist. And they're really, like, that's their truth. And yeah, I get that, because there are people in the world that is their truth, that is their worldview. But the thing is, we can't just cancel these people out. They're human as well, and they have gotten to these worldviews in some particular way, usually through a lot of trauma, either through their lives or through their generations gone before them. But how can we actually create spaces and conversations where we come together with people like this and people with a multitude of worldviews and perspectives? And how can we actually hold conversations with one another and see the humanity in one another and try to connect and actually listen? Like, I think listening is the key. I think we're getting becoming worse and worse listeners with all this social media call out stuff. It's really, really complex and nuanced. And I think I also want to note that I think we have like there's a lot of issues happening here with identities. Like, you're automatically pigeonholed into being like this and being this identity, whilst we are multifaceted, always changing, always evolving beings. We always continually change our minds, change our identities, change who we are. Like, I am not the person I was yesterday, like, let alone a year ago. And I will not be the same, like, person or have the same opinions in a month or even next week. So we're holding people to such, like, strict, rigid, dogmatic, guidelines and boxes, whilst, like, we're forgetting that it's like part of human nature is to be fluid and change opinions and world views. And as we grow and evolve, these things are going to keep changing. So why are we, why has it become just like so rigid and dogmatic, and you're either this or you're that? And if you like say anything good about this person, then obviously you're a racist and et cetera, et cetera. It's blowing my mind. It's quite a fascinating thing to observe, but quite terrifying, as you mentioned, Amy.
Yeah, it is fascinating because it's almost become like I felt a few years ago, it felt more expansive, and recently it's felt very like I don't have a better word for it, but like toxic tribalism, where everybody's grouped into these small identities, as you've said. And those I because of the cancellation culture, those biases and those kind of groupings are confirmed because, for example, I saw somebody get called out on social media. I saw this last year, and she was, I don't know what else to call her except like an influencer in New Zealand, a TV celebrity, and somebody called her out for some costume she wore 5, 6 years ago, years ago, and said to her, "Oh, that costume was appropriative, culturally appropriative, and it was racist." I think she had worn blackface or something like that, which is not acceptable, and I'm going to say a but because I think buts need to be said because it's not straightforward, it's nuanced. She said, "You know what? Like, I apologize and I'm so ashamed of having done that. But it was 5 years ago and people were literally saying, like, cancel her, cancel her. She's actually a racist." And she's like, "This was 5 years ago. I was so stupid and young. Like, I had no idea. I had no idea that what I was doing was offensive. I've grown up, I'm wiser, I'm older, and I can see what I've done is hurtful and offensive and appropriative, and I'm sorry, I can't go back and change it, but I've learned since then. I am a different person." And I just felt like, are you serious? You're calling her, like, it's one thing if she was still the same person. If she was still taking the same actions, hadn't learned, and I still refuse to cancel anybody, even Donald Trump. I think it's so dangerous to cancel anybody, regardless of how much I disagree with them. And they were like, "Cancel her, she's really racist." And I'm like, guys, 5 years ago, we were all doing fucking stupid things. Like 5 years ago, you call me, you could, I, there's a multitude of things you could call me out for in my late teens, early 20s, that would be offensive to somebody. And genuinely, because I had not thought about it, because I was not thinking about anybody else, because nobody in my circle was saying, "Hey, you know what? That's probably not a good idea. That could be offensive to somebody. That could be hurtful to somebody." And, we all learn, we all grow. Like, sure, we can gently call somebody out for something that they're doing right now that is not okay. And there are times and places for calling people out and for having public discussion about certain actions, which are unacceptable, right? But I still don't believe canceling somebody is ever okay. I still think that we are, that being so hypersensitive about everything is not helpful. Like, if anything, it's creating more divide. It's creating more racism. It's creating more of everything we don't want, because we are forcing people into boxes and refusing to understand that we are all nuanced, that we all make mistakes, that we all grow, that we all change our opinions from day to day, from minute to minute. I could legit be super racist, just out of complete ignorance, have a conversation with somebody, and for the first time in my life, be challenged on my worldview and think, whoa, this entire world has opened up to me. I've never questioned this. I've never thought outside the box like this. Like, and if somebody just canceled me and never had the conversation, then I could stay here forever. Do you know what I mean? Like, without, yeah. It's like the fish in the ocean and the bubble. A fish doesn't even know it's in the ocean till it blows a bubble and the bubble floats past. Like, it doesn't even know it's in water till the bubble floats past. It's like all of us, we don't realize everything we're conditioned to believe until something new comes past. And if we're canceling each other, nothing new is ever going to come past. Like, it blows my mind. I just find it absolutely insane. But the question I wanted to ask you is like, why? Because we often talk about this, like going to the root of the problem. Why do you think that we are like this right now? Why do you think that we're so... Why do you think we're so, first of all, afraid of other people's opinions, and second of all, afraid of being truthful about our own?
That's a good question. I think, I do believe that a lot of this call-out culture is stemmed from people thinking that they're doing the right thing. You know, that they're working towards a cause, whatever that is, whether it's Black Lives Matter, the climate justice movement, whatever it is. And that by, you know, being so passionate about and calling other people out that aren't aligned with it, that they are actually contributing to a better world. I do think there's a bit of that in it, which, underlyingly. But in terms of what you're asking, why are we so afraid of other people's truth? Because I think it's really hard for a lot of us to accept, a lot of humans to accept that there are different worldviews, and so that therefore no one can be right. Like, it's just not so black and white. And I think... in our culture, we are, you know, our markers of success are, you know, this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong. It's very rigid and dogmatic what things look like. So I think that probably trickles into what people are thinking when they hear other people's perspectives. And I think it's also, we're not trained, like, we're not taught really to think critically. We're not really taught to expand our world views beyond what we know. As you mentioned, if you never come into contact with other people or other forms of information that might challenge your worldview, you perhaps might stay in that same place. And that's what happens to a lot of people. But now I guess we've got the internet, so things are a little bit different, but not for everyone.
And even with the internet, I guess algorithms feed you what you want to see.
Exactly. So it's pretty much the media and these tech companies that are actually dictating to us who should be cancelled, which is pretty terrifying that they're more powerful than governments at the moment. Yeah, but I'd love to know what you think. Why are we so not open to other people's truths or perspectives?
I mean, I agree with you a lot, and I think as you were talking about the call-out culture and how oftentimes you believe that people feel like they're contributing to a better world, to me, that idea ties back into belonging, like a desire to belong. And so oftentimes I think we're just trying to get on board the train because everybody is so desperate to belong. And I think in the desperation to belong to something, we're putting people into boxes, as we were talking about kind of tribalism and boxing people into certain identities. Like, I think in our desire to belong, we try to put everybody else in a box so that we feel like, oh, we're in this box and this is the box to be in, whether it be like, whether it be race, whether it be identity politics, whatever it is, we're trying to belong to something. And in doing so, we're often forcing identities on other people. I think we're scared to speak our truth because, oh, I think it's so layered and nuanced. I don't think that it's the same for everybody. But I think that there is a general feeling of being terrified to speak our truth, A, because people call you out so harshly. And you really risk being, you know, canceled in society if you're a truth speaker. Being canceled on the internet if you're a truth speaker. And, you know, these are kind of our currencies at the moment, our, you know, our social currencies. So you risk that cancellation. But aside from that, it also, like, when you're radically honest, I'm just trying to think about myself, because for me, it isn't a fear of being canceled so much. Like, I don't, that doesn't bother me very much. Like, I mean, I'm not immune from it because I'm human, but it's not something that would factor into my decision about being honest. But if I'm really honest about what radical truth, like the fear around radical truth telling for me, it would probably be having to be radically honest with myself, first of all. And then once you radically truth tell, there's a certain level of responsibility to that truth, which is scary because it takes you outside of the box. And then oftentimes, especially in the very beginning, when not many people are telling the truth, not in a radical sense, it means that you're a loner and you're going it alone. So there has to be a certain willingness to stand out and to kind of be lonely for a while. I don't know. I think for me, that's a lot of the fear around it, which is why I think safe spaces for radical truth telling are so, so important, where you can tell a truth without feeling like you risk judgment, which for me is like our round tables. I feel like there's been some really honest conversations in there that have even shocked me, but then really challenged me in a beautiful way. And for me, spaces like that are so essential right now.
Mm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. There is this fear that it's almost, you'll be banished from society and you'll be alone.
Mm.
But I feel like we're living in exciting times because of the internet, there is more and more of these truth tellers and other narratives coming to light, and people are finding each other, which I think is really beautiful. Mm. And to be honest, like, this is why I don't identify with the feminist movement, the social justice movement, even the climate justice movement anymore. Like, I don't, because I feel like they have become very dogmatic spaces where this is what it looks like. And you, if you sit anywhere outside this, you and your views, then that's wrong. And you're obviously then on the opposite spectrum. And I've been in some of these groups online, and the amount of calling other people out for things, that's why I left, and that's why I refuse to identify as any of those things now, because I feel like all of those labels are missing the point They're just they're missing the larger picture of like what I believe in my heart we should be working towards now. It's too much playing small. Like we need
Agreed.
to like move beyond.
Yeah,
And I
100%.
think that's why I think probably I speak for both of us, we love Charles Eisenstein's work here so much because in his books, in his articles, whenever he's talking about a topic, he's always including every perspective on that idea or argument. He's showing all the angles and then actually moving above it, like, okay, how can we look at all of this as opposed to just giving one polarizing thought and then that's it. So,
Yes. Yeah, absolutely agreed. And I think that's, again, for me, why we do what we do. Like, it's like, I think through our work, we always want it to be really clear that we don't have the singular truth. We're just sharing ideas because there is no singular truth. There is no singular way to do sustainable fashion with air quotes around it. You know what I mean? Like, there are so many different ways. And I think it's so important that we begin to really, really freaking understand that there is so many different ways to do this. There are so many different truths that we need to extend that same in order to really change the narrative moving forward. I really believe we have to begin by being honest with ourselves about what our truths are, and then begin extending compassion and understanding to others in the fact that everybody's truth is not the same. You could be my best friend, and I may not agree with your truth. And actually, I have a lot of very close friends who I don't agree with on everything, and I totally could not care because on our fundamental values, we share the same core values, but I don't, the nuanced stuff, like it's just, I don't have to share the same truth as you. It's not, we don't have to agree on everything. And there isn't a singular truth, and I'm not fucking God. I don't know the truth for everything. You know what I mean? Like, I just know what's true for me. That's it. And that's what each of us knows about ourselves. That's it. That's all we know. Like, let's just be honest about what we know. Do we like we really think we know the truth for 7 billion people? It's like that's some kind of crazy arrogance, to be honest. Like,
Totally.
all we know is what is true for ourselves. That's it. Not for our husbands, not for our children, not for our partners, not for our lovers, not for our best friends, not for our parents, not for anybody except ourselves. And so we really have to be able to own what that is for ourselves. Because we're so busy looking at everybody else. But how many of us, myself included, have really been so, ruthlessly honest about what truth looks like for me, and how many of us have actually been honest enough that when those conversations come up, instead of holding our mouths closed, we actually speak that?
And I think also like knowing that that's your truth only in that moment, I think is really important that we're not tied to these ideas. Like they're literally in a way illusions, like these ideas that just come and go. We're not tied to them just because we have this opinion. I think also that's why I and probably other people aren't so thrilled on sharing our opinions all the time because I know how much I'm changing my opinion like each day and I don't want to be held to it each like all the time. And having to explain yourself because our culture still again pigeonholes you based on what you've done or said 5 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
So I think
Goes
we
and
really
deletes
need
my
to
entire Instagram
I know.
now.
We really need to move past those ideas as well, that there's like we think a thought, and that is our opinion from here on in, and
Oh
that's
my
what we need to
God,
be
no.
held to. It's ridiculous. Like, can we
It
just
is.
please learn that we're all evolving beings, and it's wonderful that we're growing and changing, and we really need to embrace that and also embrace those moments where actually I have no freaking clue what my truth is right now. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah.
And just be like comfortable sitting in that unknowingness, that uncertainty. I don't think we always need to know.
Yeah,
Have the
100%.
answers to everything. Like, we just, I think there's so many things that I've just kind of surrendered to. Okay, this is very mysterious, and that's just how I'm going to leave it. I don't need to try and figure it out or have a strong opinion on it.
Yes, 100%. Like, it just, there's this kind of sense, like, as we're talking of, like, this kind of freedom that comes with real truth. And like you said, for me, not knowing is a truth. Like, if you don't know and you're honest about it, that's the truth. Like, you know?
I love that.
And there's this kind of freedom in giving yourself and other people that room to be fluid and to change and to evolve and to adapt and to, like, from one second to the next. Like, I don't want you to hold me to what I thought 3 seconds ago. Maybe I still do, maybe I don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but it's like my own sovereign right to change and to evolve and to adapt at exactly when that feels right to me. And it's the same for everybody else. And oh man.
Yeah, I think that sovereignty piece you touched on is key here. Everyone is a sovereign being, and I think we need to start respecting that, because we are not. We are
That
not.
word is it. That is everything. That is exactly the whole conversation, like respect. Like, we're treating each other like children, in the sense that, like, we treat our children like crap, like children, you know? Like,
yeah.
We do not give respect to other living beings the way we should. But in the reverse, like, this is something we can, like, we can begin right now with ourselves. We don't even need anybody else to begin that process of truth telling. Like, even if it's just that I don't know, it doesn't matter. Like, that process can begin now. We can begin shifting that reality immediately. Because it is, because that always comes back to and begins with us as our own sovereign beings, like you just said now. So, like, I think having the conversation to highlight what's going on is so important, but also, like, it can shift right now.
Yeah, absolutely. We just really have to open ourselves up to it. And yeah, treat other people how you want to be treated. Yeah, and we need to know what's wrong, what's not right in the world. And we already know that. There's been so much focus on that. But how can we actually start to create what we want in the world? I'd love to see more of a shift in that area.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, that begins in huge part by truth telling, because, like we said, like, this whole conversation came up for us when we were talking about visioning, because visioning requires radical truth telling. And so even just those exercises of beginning to really expansively explore for ourselves, not even just related to fashion, but in general, like, what would those possibilities look like? What could they look like if I really allowed myself to expand, and be honest about what would feel super good to me and what I feel like looks like a beautiful future. And I mean, there is so much that's out of our control, but there is so much that we really can do right now. And I think that sometimes it can feel really heavy, because it can feel like, oh my gosh, you know, so much is going wrong, but so much is also going right. And this is such an exciting time to be alive.
Yeah.
In so many ways. And we really get the choice to flip the narrative and to really think about, like, and really feel into what would we like the future to look like, and how expansive and exciting can it be? And that begins with us. That begins in so many ways with what we can do right now. Just even everything begins in the imagination. Absolutely everything that we've ever created in life, from opinions and thoughts to tangible products, begins in our imagination. So we can begin in our imagination right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Oh, I think that's a really nice note to end on, unless you had anything else you wanted to add, Amy.
No, I really enjoyed our conversation. I'm really enjoying exploring, like, what this year, what the future can look like. Still very present in right now, because I think that's very important. And loving right now, but also just expanding the possibilities through imagination.
Yeah, me too. Beautiful. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much for listening, everybody. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you soon. Enjoy your day.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this week's conversation.
For today's show notes, to get in touch or sign up to our mailing list, you can find links at the bottom of this episode page.
And if you are new to our community, then head on over to our Instagram at sustainability5.0 and our website www.sustainability5.world and follow along to stay up to date with our upcoming online and in-person events.
If you found value in today's conversation, then we would so appreciate it if you would subscribe and leave us a review. Through this, you're helping others to find these important conversations.
Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.